We've been in this series entitled, if you haven't been here with us, entitled The Secret. And what we've been doing is we've been taking Old Testament characters, the Old Testament characters, and we've been talking about what is the secret that they really possessed in growing in their relationship with God, but also fulfilling the call of God that was on their life. And what we have seen is that these secrets that they discovered or possessed, we can embrace those secrets and watch our relationship with God progress forward. Watch you and I actually accomplish what God has sent us to do. And today we're going to be looking at someone from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6. If you want to turn to Judges chapter 6, we're going to be looking at a young man by the name of Gideon. Now, if you've never read Gideon, Gideon is the original 300. If you've ever seen the movie 300, this is where it all comes from. This is the original 300 right here in Judges chapter 6. We're going to read verses 11 through, I think it's 14, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We have one verse there. So here we are, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now, the angel of the Lord, and what we're actually going to discover here is that this angel is actually what theology calls a theophany. This is Jesus really showing up in the Old Testament. An angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree at Orpah, which belonged to Joash, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress. Gideon was a farmhand. Here he is. He's dealing with the wheat, separating the good chaff from the good wheat. Was beating a wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor," or "O valiant warrior," your version might say. And Gideon said to him, "Please, Lord," or "Pardon me, sir. If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" What we're going to discover here today is actually Israel, or Gideon, who is a part of Israel, is being oppressed by the Midianites. He's saying, why is all this oppression? Why is it happening to us? He's like, where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us," or abandoned us, "and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?" Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. This is the Apostle Paul. Jesus is talking to him here. And he said, "But he said to me," Paul's saying, Jesus said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me." Lord, today, God, we're here to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, cause us to be attentive, Lord, on your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, guys, every time we come to church, my hope is that you come expecting God to do something new into your life. There's something that happens supernaturally as you and I gather together as the church. God releases new things in every one of our lives. And so as we approach this message about Gideon, let's approach it in great expectation, in great faith, saying, God, you're going to speak to me. Wherever I'm at in my relationship with you, whatever's going on in my life, God, you are going to speak to me. Amen? And so here we have this guy named Gideon. And what we're going to begin to see from Gideon is that Gideon faced doubts. Gideon faced insecurities. Gideon faced fears. Gideon faced uncertainty. And because of that, Gideon had a lot of weaknesses in his life. And we're going to learn to how Jesus, he uses our weaknesses really to do great things into our life. Gideon really is in a bad situation. The nation of Israel has been oppressed by the enemy, who is Midian, the Midianites. They're being oppressed by them. Pastor Richard, what's up, brother? You doing all right? You look good. They're being oppressed by the Midianites. So much so that here's Gideon, he's hiding in a wine press, shafting this wheat, getting this wheat ready. The only way really Gideon or the Israelites could describe Midian is like a locust. Everything they sought out to do, they would completely come and devour it, wipe it away. Now there's a reason why though. Israel is being oppressed, even though there's God's people, there's a reason why they find themselves in this situation. See, Israel had gotten comfortable. God's plan to Israel was that they would annihilate, they would take out every enemy that was around them. But yet, because God allowed them to have a piece of land, they had gotten comfortable in this piece of land. But God's plan for them and the call upon their life was not just to rest in that piece of land, but for them to take the entire land. And so he wanted them, he had other things that he wanted them to do. So the Israelites were actually in disobedience as they remained comfortable sitting there, not doing anything really from the Lord. And there's a reason why, though, they are sitting in this land, comfortable, not obeying God. First off is because as you read the Old Testament, what you discover is Israel was actually afraid of iron chariots. They were afraid of iron chariots. And the reason why is because Israel lived in the mountains, the Israelites. They lived in the mountains. And being in the mountains, they were good at doing hand-to-hand combat. But yet, the enemy, Midian, lived in the flatland. Therefore, they knew, or they thought to themselves, if I go down, because the enemy possesses greater weaponry than we do, we will be defeated. But yet, still remember, God had called them to do what? To take the land. And if God had called them to take the land, don't you think that he would have considered the weaponry the enemy faced before he called them there? But yet their short-sightedness, which is key for us today, caused them to be in disobedience. Oftentimes, let me tell you this, today's difficulties that we face oftentimes are a result from yesterday's disobedience. The difficulties we face, the hardship, the turmoil, many times are not because God's doing something to us. It's because we have chosen to disobey. This is where the Israelites are. Also, it's like Aaron just said a little bit ago. God told them every seventh year that they were to take the book of the law and they were to read it out loud. They simply forgot to do this one simple step of reading this Bible out loud. Because systematically reading this Bible, guess what? Allows obedience to flow into our lives. This is why we are constantly saying to you, or asking you, are you reading your Bible? Oh man, so much comes. So much blessing, so much obedience, so much the things of God are released as we simply open up this Bible and we begin to read it. So Israel, they're in a state of oppression, state of fear, state of being vulnerable, and this is where Gideon finds himself. Now, we're going to talk about this today, and this is the things that we, sometimes when you hear somebody get up and say, hey, today we're going to talk about being vulnerable. Today we're going to talk about being weak. All of us are like, I don't want to hear that. None of us likes to admit what? That there's areas in our life where we feel insecure. Where we all want to put on a show, especially on Sunday morning. Hopefully we brushed our teeth. Hopefully you did that. You fixed your hair. You got your clothes on. Man, you're looking good. On Sunday morning, everything looks like, man, they got it together. Sometimes we look on Facebook. We all lie on Facebook. And we all think what? Man, they got it going on. They got it together. But yet all of us possess weaknesses, we all possess fears, we all possess incompetencies, we all possess things that we're not good at, and when somebody starts talking about those things, we all feel exposed, like, I don't want to talk about that. It's kind of like me when I watch a movie with my wife. If there is a scene that I'm being too moved by, I'll tell my wife, hey, baby, I'm about to go get some more popcorn. I'll get up and walk out. I don't want to shed any tears in front of my wife. Man, I want to be a tough man. I don't cry. Men don't cry. Men are not vulnerable. Men are not weak. So I go cry outside, then I come back in. Man, I'm glad that scene's over. That was a boring scene, baby. No, I just didn't want to cry. But we all hate this. But here's what we're going to discover today. And this is really a secret. I'm going to give you the secret up front that Gideon discovered. Gideon discovered that his weakness was actually a conduit, a pipeline, a conduit for God's strength to flow into his life. This is what we're going to discover for us today. Even though we want to disregard our weaknesses, even though we don't want anybody to see our weaknesses, God uses our weaknesses as a conduit for his strength, for his blessing to flow into our life. Verse 11, we have Gideon. Remember, Gideon is oppressed. Gideon's fearful. He's in a state of weakness. And here comes the angel of the Lord. Now, again, as you study this, you actually see that this is Jesus Christ showing up many years before he was the second, before he was born of a virgin, showing up. It's called a theophany. You actually see it actually in Joshua as well. Joshua was about to go against Jericho, and this angel, the army of the Lord of hosts, shows up. And I love Joshua. Joshua goes and asks a question to him. He says, "Are you for us or for them?" And we notice that the angel of the Lord, this is Jesus, doesn't answer his question at all. He says, "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Meaning, I'm not for you, you're for me. And here we have Jesus doing the same thing right here with Gideon. And Jesus says something to Gideon that should have shook him, that should have awakened him. He comes to him, he says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor," or "O valiant man." But see, Gideon, again, he was in this place of oppression, a place where he was not thinking right. And so all he could begin to do is what? Ask Jesus questions. "Jesus, if that's true, if you're with us, then why are these promises that I've heard about, all these great things that you did, bringing my people out of Egypt, out of slavery," because the stories were passed down from generation to generation. "If that is true, why are we in the state that we're in today?" So many of us, I believe, are in that place right now. God, if you're real, Jesus, if you're all powerful, if you got all these wonderful things that Lance and Pastor Richard always talk to me about, then why is this happening in my life? See, this is all that Gideon could focus on. And what's funny is he asked Jesus these questions, but Jesus, like many times in the New Testament, he doesn't answer Gideon's question. He moves on. He says, "Go in this might of yours." But Gideon, all Gideon can focus on is his weaknesses. In fact, he ends up beginning to blame God at first. "God, we're in this because of you. Lord, you're not this, you're not that." Since that didn't work, he turns to himself and saying, "Well, maybe it's because of me. I'm the weakest tribe of all of Israel. How are you going to use me?" Gideon begins to use everything he can to try to get God to show himself that, hey, you're really going to do what you said you're going to do. He didn't answer his question, so Gideon's a smart guy. So Gideon begins to turn to him. Now he asks, "Okay, since you didn't answer my question, can you show me a sign?" Now, I don't blame the brother. Again, we're defeated. We're in this place. I'm in hiding. I'm in this wine press. I'm farming this wheat. Lord, I need you to show me something that proves that you're going to be with me. So what does Gideon do? He gets this fleece out. He says, "Okay, now, I'm going to go to bed. And when I wake up, if the ground is wet and the fleece is dry, Lord, I know this is you. I know you're going to do what you said you're going to do." So what does he do? He goes to sleep, wakes up, ground's wet, fleece is dry. Fleece is just a blanket. Blanket's dry. He says, all right, Lord, just one more time. Just for sure. I want to be for certain. I'm going to go to bed again. Lord, this time I want the blanket to be wet, and I want the ground to be dry. Sure enough, what happens? Gideon goes to sleep, wakes up, blanket's wet, ground is dry. I'm sure Jesus is thinking, man, that's enough. What you begin to see, though, is really things are changing for Gideon. Now, I love signs and wonders. We are a church that believes in the miracle-working power of God. We believe that God is supernatural. Therefore, guess what? He does supernatural things. Things we can't sometimes explain. Things that sometimes are harder to articulate. God does those type of things. But listen, my friend. If you need a sign every time God tells you something that he wants to do with you or in you, that you're going to miss out on an authentic relationship with Christ. You're going to completely miss it. Because what we see as we look at the Old Testament, look at Israel, signs and wonders, miracles, that's not what we need. Because that doesn't change a heart. You and I as New Testament believers, we have the greatest sign and miracle ever known. You know what that is? It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't need another sign. I don't have to put God like he's promoting himself, like a good salesman, trying to show me something so I can believe in him. He proved himself. We're about to celebrate it here in about 2 weeks. To over 2,000 years ago, he proved by doing what? Rising from the dead. And that is enough, and that's got to be enough for every one of us. That, Lord, even though I might not be getting my prayer answered, God, even though you might not be showing me what I'm asking you, God, I'm just going to believe in you because why? Man, you rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. You did something that no man or woman has ever done or ever will do again. You accomplished, you defeated death and hell. This is the sign that you and I need. But Gideon, he got his prayer answered. Jesus did this for him. And so what happened next is very interesting. Because, again, Jesus had called Midian to lead Israel into battle to defeat the Midianites, to take more land. But yet Jesus starts with Gideon at a place that you would never expect. Jesus tells Gideon, "Gideon, before you go lead my army, I want you to go home. I want you to go home, and your father has this idol set up, and I want you to tear it down." Why does Jesus tell Gideon to start in the home? Because, friends, at home is the most vulnerable place, the weakest place for every single one of us. I am the most vulnerable and the most weak and insecure when it comes to leading my family. You know why? Because they see all of my fears. They see all of my insecurities. They see all of my mistakes. They see all of my doubts. And it causes me to be weak and insecure and afraid to step up and lead them. But Gideon, if you're going to lead my army, you better start leading at home. Men, especially you in this room, if you have a wife, or if you have children, maybe you don't have a wife right now, but you got some babies. Let me tell you something. Everything in what God wants you to do starts right there at home. Because if you can't lead your babies, and you can't lead that woman that God gave you, that precious gift, she is a gift. You need to turn to her and tell her right now, "Baby, you're a gift. Thank you. She is a gift from heaven to you, knucklehead. You are not that handsome and good looking. You're not. It is a miracle that God gives any of us old, ugly old jokers a woman. I mean, she carries your last name. Do you realize the responsibility that is? Oh, help us, Jesus. And then we're dumb enough to have kids. They carry our last name. I got six people that carry my last name. God, give me grace. But it produces the fear of the Lord on the inside of me. See, when I'm standing up here talking to you guys, it doesn't mean squat. Sorry for using that word, squat. I'll find a better word next service. It doesn't mean anything if I'm a pitiful leader at home. It doesn't mean anything. Man, I know, listen, you got careers, you got dreams of what you want to make money. If you, your greatest accomplishment, your greatest victory is to lead your home, to lead your children, if you're married, to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. It is the greatest accomplishment and victory you will ever have in your life. Yeah. Ladies, I'm going to give you a chance to say amen. You ready? Amen. Thank you, ladies. Don't miss those moments, women. Come on. So here's Gideon. He had to go home. He had to lead his family first. Because if he could lead his family, see, family, it was just leading that family was just training for Gideon to lead the army of Israel. So now we get to the point where Gideon, he's realizing, okay, man, see, what's happening to Gideon is Gideon's perspective is beginning to change. At first, when Jesus came to him and started telling him how he was a valiant warrior, how he was a mighty man, Gideon didn't believe it. But what we see now is Gideon's perspective is beginning to change. What's happening is Gideon is beginning to get lifted up out of his situation, out of his circumstances, and he's beginning to see, maybe I am who this angel of the Lord, as we know as Jesus, is telling me. Maybe I am a mighty man. Friends, one of the greatest weapons for every one of us, men and women, is who you are in Christ. Your identity in Christ is the greatest weapon that you possess. Everything comes against who you are in Christ, everything that you face in this life. Comes against that, tries to destroy that, tries to take that down. And I'll be honest with you, I know this is going to sound a little weird, but there are moments in my life where I have to stand in front of the mirror and I have to look at my ugly face and I got to tell myself who I am in Christ. You're a mighty man. You're a man of holiness. You're a man of righteousness. You're a valiant warrior. What am I doing? I'm speaking what Jesus has said to me, because what he says to me is greater than what I say to myself. What I hear is you're weak, you're insecure, you're pitiful, give up. But Jesus says, I'm with you. You're a mighty man. You're a warrior. I'm telling myself that. Sometimes you just got to speak to yourself. Listen, you may not do it to me, but I'm going to do it to myself. And sometimes we have to be weird sometimes when it concerns our relationship with God and talk to ourselves. Talk ourselves up out of the situation that we're in. And what we discover here is this, is that Gideon's beginning to learn how to tie the weaknesses that he had with the strengths of heaven. We begin to see those two things come together. See, again, 2 Corinthians 12 says what? Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. Forget this, he says, he goes on. Why is it sufficient? Because why? My power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul had that understanding. So what did he say? Therefore, I rejoice. I get happy about my weaknesses. I get happy about my insecurities. I get happy about my incompetencies. Because why? Because God, those are the things, those are conduits that God uses to bring his grace and his strength through. See, what's interesting is Jesus doesn't remove our weaknesses. He uses them. Many of us pray, God, remove my weaknesses. He's not removing them. He's using them. He's using them for his strength, for his grace to come through. Therefore, we can do what? We can be excited about the things that we're weak in. We can rejoice in them because, Lord, this is an opportunity for you to show yourself strong. So Gideon, God is tying these two things together, his weaknesses with his strengths. How does this happen for us? I don't know about you, but I need that. I need God's strength inside of me. Number one, I got too many things to do. Whew, there's a mission to accomplish. There's people to love and care and serve for. I need your strength. Here's what we see. Is Gideon, we just said it before, but I'm going to say it. There's three little things here that Gideon had. Gideon had a change of perspective. A change of perspective. He was beginning to believe what this angel or Jesus was saying to him. He began to believe who he was. My little babies, I have five children. And I have ruined them in one area. I have told them, every time you see a dog, run. Therefore, my children are scared to death of dogs. They are scared to death. It's because my fault. Because I love you guys, but if you're a dog lover, I don't like dogs. I don't like to be around dogs. They're hairy. They shed. They stink to me. May not to you. I don't like them. And so I've trained my kids, when you see an animal, run, a dog, run in terror. My little baby girl, Darcy, well, she's not little anymore. She's 13 now. But I remember when she was 4 years old, and I was in the backyard. And my Darcy, man, she took off running. I'm telling you, as fast as she was coming around the corner, so I couldn't see her. So here she comes, fast, running straight towards me. I'm thinking, why is she running so fast? I mean, her little eyes are wide open, just running. And all of a sudden, I hear this little old, this dog that was chasing her was no bigger than my Bible. I mean, it was chasing her, and she was running as fast as she could. Daddy! So as a good dad, I ran to her, and I picked her up, and that little old dog ran right up to me. But something happened to Darcy's perspective when I picked her up. It began to change. Because to her, eye to eye, I mean, that thing was a monster. But when Daddy picked her up, her perspective began to change. She began to see that dog for how small that dog really is. Then in Daddy's arms, I don't have to fear. I don't have to be insecure. I don't have to be weak. Why? Because my Daddy has me in his arms. I'm protected. This is what Gideon's beginning to experience. Jesus, remember, he didn't answer Gideon's questions. What did he get? He said, go, for I am with you. He's seeing that, hold on, this Jesus, this God that I serve, he has me. Therefore, my perspective can change. I don't have to see myself from all the lies of the enemy, what I've told myself, what the past has said. I can see myself for who my Jesus calls me. I'm a mighty man. He also had a change of power. A change of power. He had a change of power. Gideon, he's beginning to learn about who he is. He's beginning to see that his strength is found in this angel, what this angel has pronounced over him. Gideon's changing. is the power inside of him is changing. He's beginning to see that this grace or this grace of God is really sufficient for him, that it's there for him. See, here's what happened. God loves to put us in situations where we have to look to him. Well, we are forced to look to him. When you look at this, if you read on, I didn't read it on, but as you read on, what you see is the Midianites, they're about to go to battle with them. And they have 135,000 soldiers. Whew, that's a lot. Especially compared to Gideon. Gideon blows a trumpet, gathers as many as he could as he begins to count. He counts, and guess what? He has 32,000. 32,000 against 135,000. Doesn't look too good, does it? But Gideon's got another problem. Because Jesus comes up to him and says, Gideon, you have too much. You got too many. I'm sure Gideon's thinking, say what? Have you counted? 135,000 does not equal 32,000. We have less. But see, here's the thing. For God, listen to this. This is so key. Winning the battle was not the point that God wanted to accomplish here with Gideon in Israel. Capturing their heart is what he wanted to do. Therefore, what does he do? Okay, Gideon, we're going to dwindle this down. He gets all the way down to 300 soldiers. Man, God loves putting us in situations and circumstances where we are forced to look to him. And this is why. Because it's in those moments that we're facing whatever that is, we only have this much. What it does is it calls self-reliance and pride to go down. And it causes humility and God-dependence to arise on the inside of us. That's why he loves it. Because God loves stacking the deck against himself. He loves to back himself up in a corner. Because he loves to show himself strong on our behalf. So the question for you and I is, what is our 300? What's our 300? What is Jesus saying to you? Hey, you need to get rid of this. So my strength, again, remember, your weaknesses are God's conduits so his strength can flow. What is Jesus saying you need to release so that his great grace and strength can come through? Praise team, you can come on up. Gideon had a change of perspective. He had a change of power. And I love this last one. Gideon had a change of posture. A posture. You know, many of us, when we're going through difficult times, when we feel weak, we feel insecure, actually, it affects our body, the way we look, how we stand, when we're confident, when we know who we are, when we stand a little bit differently. When somebody gets born again, man, I can tell. Now, again, I'm not trying to scare you, but as a pastor, I can tell when things are going well by looking into your eyes. Because when you look, there's a certain look that you have when you're postured. You know who you are. Because when you know who you are, let me tell you something, you make better decisions. You make better choices. And Gideon's posture is about to change. One of the things I love to do with my children is to take them to the store and allow them to pick out certain things that they like or believe in for. And one of the things my wife and I do, because we do this with our babies to help them, you know, we challenge them or really we give them the opportunities to make some money. Clean the room, you know, do certain chores around the house. Do whatever. And my son, Lawson, he loves to play Nerf guns. Nerf guns, his favorite thing now. He loves to play those things. Nerf bullets are all over my house. Oh, my gosh. My wife's shoes are all... I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Baby. I was about to say your shoes are all over the house.
To prevent you from saying that.
My wife's shoes, they are. I'm just being honest.
One day they may not be there anymore. Might just want to leave it.
Y'all should have booed that.
Not meaning I'm going to leave him, just meaning I won't be there anymore. So you'll miss my shoes being all over the place.
You'll be gone. Why do I back myself up in these corners? I'm not God. I shouldn't do that. God does that, not me. But what was I saying? Nerf gun. Nerf gun. My son lost it. He had saved up $3 because there was a Nerf gun at the Dollar General store. Now, Dollar General is deceptive because everything's not a dollar. I was like my son. I thought it was until I asked my wife. I was like, why does this cost more than a dollar? Honey, that's dollar, what is that, Dollar Tree?
Dollar Tree is a dollar.
Dollar Tree is a dollar. Dollar General. So my son, he had this expectation. What, man, I have enough money. So he gets there, he gets the Nerf gun. I wasn't paying attention. We go to the cash register and he puts it up there and she looks at the register and says, lady says, son, you don't have enough. You talk about a pool of despair coming upon my son. Because why? He approached thinking what? I have enough. He didn't have enough. He didn't have enough to buy the gun. But what Lawson didn't understand is everything Lawson needs, that Lawson's resources are found in his relationship with his father. See, Lawson didn't have enough, but guess who did? Me as his daddy, as his father. I had more than enough. More than enough to meet his need and go above and beyond everything that he was asking for in that moment. So what did I do? I took my money out. Son, just keep yours. Keep it. I'll pay for it. And his posture, when he talking about being confident, and my daddy bought me this. Now, he better not lose it, but my daddy bought me this. He bought me this. See, Gideon was about to discover that God was about to release his greatest resource that he ever had. You know what that was? His spirit. Gideon was about to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. Gideon's asking all these questions, needing all these things, and God, he wants to help Gideon. He looks around and says, does Gideon need money? No, he doesn't need money. Does Gideon need better weaponry to fight? No, he doesn't need that. What he needs is he needs me. So God said, Gideon, I'm going to give you what's going to make you feel so close to me, what's going to empower you and strengthen you. I'm going to give you my own spirit. If we get that today, you better believe in Luke chapter 11. Jesus says to you and I, he talks about a father. He says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Friend, when you have the Holy Spirit, the way you stand, the way you look, it changes. Because you have the greatest resource that you could ever get, and that's him. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing this song about the Holy Spirit. We're just going to receive. Maybe you find yourself weak today. Maybe you find yourself insecure. Maybe you find yourself just like my son Lawson. You've come to whatever it may be, your marriage, a job, a financial situation. God, I don't have enough. But God's saying today, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because you have me. So, Father, we welcome you. God, come. As we sing about you, Lord, come. Come and bring a great encouragement. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Let your grace flow right now. In Jesus' name.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence. Let me walk upon the waters wherever.
That even when insecurities flare up inside of our soul, we thank you for your grace. You know, in a service like this, it's easy to see how our insecurities could feel like their own display inside our mind. Insecurities of being a good mom, insecurities of being a good dad or good husband or good wife, the insecurities of not knowing if we have what it takes. But there's good news today, church. The Bible says that His grace is sufficient for us. You know what that means? His grace is sufficient for us. See, His grace is a reminder to us of all that He's done for us, but also all that He is able to do in our life. And His grace repositions us, like Pastor Lance says. It repositions us to know that, you know, as long as I've got my God on my side, that's all that I need. My body might be weak. My finances may not be enough. Right now, my marriage might be a train wreck, but His grace is sufficient for us right now. I don't know where you're going through in your life, but if you need an extra dose of the grace of God, I just want to pray that He would pour out His grace lavishly on you. If that's you and you need prayer for more God's grace, just raise your hand right now all around this room. Just the grace of God. You might be feeling insecurities. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're dealing with worries from yesterday. You don't know how it's going to work out, and you're just saying, I need grace, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see hands all around this room. God, we are believing for your grace right now, God, to come and take over, to come and to fill in the gap where we have insufficiencies, God, where we have an inability to take care of our own junk, our own mess, to change things, to fix stuff, God. We're praying for your grace right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for every wife, every husband, every man, every woman, every young person, every older person, your grace right now, God. You see it right now, God, the need for your grace. You see our lack, and we see your grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that we would be reminded of all the times you stepped in, that you never left us. You never let us go. When we needed you, God, you were there. And God, I thank you even right now for all that you were able to do. Oh, that's good, church. All that He is able to do. In your wildest imagination, He's able to do more. The Bible says He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think or imagine. So, Father, we praise the God of the universe. We praise the King of Kings. We praise the Lord of Lords right now. In the name of Jesus, can you give the Lord a big praise? Can you muster up enough praise to thank Him for His grace? Where would you be right now without the grace of God? Some of you wouldn't be here right now. Some of you would be in jail. Some of you would be dead if it had not been for the grace of God. Can you give Him a big thanks? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, a big praise. He deserves it, God. All that you can give Him, just give it to Him right now. Thank you for your grace, God. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Pastor Lance, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is strong. Guys, I just want to thank you for being a part of Bethel today. I have two reminders for you. If you are in middle school or high school, sixth grader through 12th grader, or if you have a high schooler or middle schooler, we want to invite you guys all out tonight here at the church at 5:30 for Rush. We are debuting the brand new Sunday evening service for Rush tonight. So you are all invited. Let's give a big hand for Rush. Let's fill this room up with middle schoolers and high schoolers tonight. You don't have anything to do on Sunday night. National championships not till tomorrow. The last thing also is if you would like to be water baptized, maybe you're taking that next step in your faith. Maybe you've never been water baptized and you've come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maybe as a little kid, you didn't really know what was going on. Everybody was getting into water, so you got in too. But you've come to the knowledge of Jesus and you just know that that is the next step for me. We want you to sign up to be water baptized because on Good Friday, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have not only a night of worship, but a baptism service right here in this room. I don't know, Pastor Lance, how we're going to get a baptism tank in here. Maybe we can fill up the drum cage like an aquarium. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. We're going to do that. So if you would like to be water baptized, just stop off at the connection point table in the lobby. You fill out just your name, your email, your phone number. We'll get in contact with you. It's all you have to do. So, Father, thank you so much for everyone here. Pray that they would have a blessed week. We thank you, Lord God, that if they have any prayer needs, God, our prayer team's going to be here. Cover your people, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our prayer team's going to be right up front.